Oaths, written by Ranger Jedi 67 and read by Flower Parish. This is a Merlin fic rated for teen and up audiences, featuring the relationships Leon and Arthur, Leon and Merlin, Gaius and Merlin, pre-Merlin/Arthur. This is part one of Oaths, Hearts, and Other Breakable Things. Summary. Leon learns that Merlin has magic. He knows what his oaths would require of him, but he isn't sure if that is actually in Arthur's best interest. Leon must decide if he can better protect his king by telling him the truth or by keeping Merlin's secret. Leon was not a fool, nor was he as unobservant as his king appeared to be. Leon had been present for enough convenient incidents that he'd grown suspicious that there was more to Merlin than the world saw. At first, he'd been deeply suspicious, but over and over he noted Merlin's utter devotion to Arthur, even at times when the prince didn't deserve it. He knew Arthur cared for Merlin deeply, far more so than was normal, even perhaps considered allowable for a royal to care about a servant. That was, in large part, why Leon had intentionally not allowed himself to notice too much while Uther was still alive. His knight's oath would have forced him to tell the king, his own honor would have demanded it. Technically, it still did. He should tell Arthur what he had learned, should let his king decide what to do next. Leon's honor warred with his sense of rightness because one thing had become abundantly clear to him. Merlin had magic, and Arthur didn't know. For a time, Leon had thought Arthur did know and was perhaps, like himself, pretending not to see the obvious signs. The realization that Arthur did not know was difficult, because Leon's oaths meant he was honor-bound to tell Arthur. That was a fact. Another, equally undeniable fact, though, was that Merlin's presence made Arthur a better man, a better king. Leon didn't know how Arthur would take the news. No, that wasn't true. He did know how Arthur would take it. His king would feel utterly betrayed, gutted that yet another person so close, so trusted, had lied to him for so long, had used magic right under his nose for years. It was what Arthur would do that Leon wasn't so sure of. Leon truly could not see Arthur turning to Uther's favored method. He didn't think that, even furious and feeling betrayed, Arthur would send Merlin to the pyre. But there were many other ways to execute someone. Would Arthur turn to one of those? Would Arthur take Merlin's years of faithful service into account and offer the mercy of merely banishing him? Leon didn't know. What he did know was that everything Merlin had ever done for Arthur would be questioned. Merlin's devotion would suddenly seem suspect, because what if it hid an ulterior motive? Not that Leon could think of one, truth be told. If he wanted Arthur dead, Merlin could have done it 1,000 times over. If he wanted power, Merlin could have sided with Morgana. Or worse, used Arthur's complete trust in him to place him under an enchantment. Merlin could bespell Arthur, and none of them would even know it. Leon's heart said that was impossible, that Merlin would never harm Arthur. Leon's mind needed to not be guided by sentiment. It needed to protect his king. It's what his oaths demanded. But would telling Arthur about Merlin's magic truly protect him? Or, rather, would it protect him more than it hurt him? That was the heart of the problem. And Leon's own heart, well, it knew the answer. Telling Arthur would hurt him, possibly irrevocably. It did not know if telling Arthur of Merlin's magic would actually protect him. So, despite knowing what his oaths would demand, Leon resolved to take a bit more time. He would observe. Then he would act. It wasn't just Arthur that Merlin used his magic to protect. The realization hit Leon with all the force of a mounted knight in a joust when an illness swept through the lower town. Many were ill, some seriously so for some days, but only a single, very elderly man died of it. The same illness killed dozens in outlying villages. Arthur praised Gaius' skills for protecting the people in Camelot from the same fate. Leon did not doubt that Gaius was a knowledgeable, skilled physician. He did not doubt that those facts saved lives. But he also knew Merlin had been aiding Gaius in tending to the ill. Gaius, who no doubt knew of his charge's magic. Leon saw Merlin the day after the old man in the Tower Town died. Only a fool would have missed the guilt lingering in Merlin's gaze. Merlin had used his magic to help the sick, and he blamed himself for not being able to save the old man, too. Leon's heart ached with sympathy, but he didn't dare express it, at least not too directly. He was no more certain of how Merlin would react to him knowing the secret than he was of Arthur. It did make Leon start to doubt, just a little. Not Merlin. No, if anything, it solidified his certainty that Merlin was no threat to Camelot, nor to Arthur. It made Leon doubt the rightness of the ban. He knew Gaius had once practiced magic. If he could still do so freely, how many others might he be able to help? If others as good-hearted as Merlin and Gaius were allowed, could they have saved those innocent people who died of the illness in the outlying villages? Leon wasn't a fool. He'd seen the harm that magic could do, had seen the suffering that those who wielded magic with ill intent could bring. But he also knew that it could do good. After all, had magic not saved his life once? Perhaps a wiser course of action than the ban would be to make laws governing it. Allow those like Gaius and Merlin to heal, to help. Punish those like Morgana who chose to use it to harm. Shaking his head, Leon pushed those thoughts away. It was not his place to suggest such a thing. Nor, in truth, did he have enough knowledge to back his argument. For all he knew, Merlin and Gaius might be exceptions and the late king was right about magic in general. No, Leon would not broach such a subject with his king. But if he quietly checked on Merlin and Gaius to be sure they were resting, after so many days of hard work tending to the ill, that was only the right thing to do. Now that he was actively looking for it, Leon honestly wondered how all of Camelot didn't know Merlin had magic. Merlin was relatively careful, mostly, but he was not subtle. Nor was he a very convincing liar. He could deflect, distract with a stinging barb or a taunt, but he absolutely could not lie. Absently, Leon wondered if Merlin had actually ever been in a tavern when not with the knights or the king. But this. Merlin stared at Leon with wide, fear-filled eyes, and Leon sighed heavily. The oh-so-convenient branch that hit the bandit in the face was from a tree halfway down the slope. There was no reasonable, natural explanation for it being where it was, and Merlin knew it. This was not how Leon had imagined having this conversation, but there was nothing for it. You picked up a convenient branch on the ground to defend yourself, and when you realized the bandit was coming up behind me, you hit him in the head with it, Leon said firmly. Understood. Eyes still wide, Merlin swallowed hard, but nodded. Good. Let's go find our king, shall we? Leon asked as he sheathed his sword and started down the slope towards the clearing below where Arthur and the others should be. Merlin hurried to catch up with him. Sir Leon, Merlin started. Leon shook his head. We will talk, Merlin, but not here, not with a nearby audience. I don't believe you're a threat to Arthur, otherwise we'd be having a different conversation, and we'd be having it now. Some of the tension eased from Merlin's shoulders at that. Good. That should at least let them get back to Camelot. Hours later, ensconced in the relative safety of Gaius's chambers, Leon sat down with Merlin at the table. Gaius attempted to look busy taking stock of his herbs and medicines. Leon knew better than to believe it. You have magic, Leon said bluntly. There was no point in trying to ease into the conversation. A less observant man might have missed the way Gaius tensed, but Leon noticed it. He saw me use it, Merlin admitted quietly. Leon didn't need to see Gaius's face to know what it must look like. I want to understand, Leon explained. I don't pretend to understand why anyone with magic would choose Camelot, but if there's one thing I do know, it's that Merlin is loyal to Arthur. Blowing out a breath, Merlin replied, I am. I know I'm not a knight. My word doesn't carry weight the way yours does, but I swear I am loyal to Arthur. I use my magic for him, to protect him and Camelot. Smiling gently, Leon assured, Your word does matter, Merlin. I wouldn't be here if it didn't. I'd have just gone right to Arthur the moment I first suspected. Merlin blinked. Wait, you suspected? Before today? Merlin asked, tone not exactly a squeak, but also not very far from one. Leon nodded. I've known for some time, Leon admitted. Fidgeting in his seat, Merlin asked, Why didn't you go to Arthur? Gaius gave up pretending to do anything else and joined them at the table. It's a good question, as it was what your knight's oath would demand of you, Gaius said, tone and expression on his face an undeniable challenge. Leon inclined his head, acknowledging the point. It would be pointless to deny that anyway. I didn't say anything before I was sure because I didn't want to risk falsely accusing someone, Leon explained. We all know what has happened in the past with that. Arthur isn't his father, but the law is still the law. And once I was sure... Trailing off, Leon ran a weary hand over his face. I knew telling Arthur would break his heart. I couldn't bring myself to do it, not when I had also become certain that Merlin was no threat. I will risk breaking my oath to protect my king from all harm. Merlin looked away, but Leon saw the sheen of tears in his eyes anyway. I never wanted to hurt him, Merlin said, tone reflecting the ache in his own heart at the notion. But how could I tell him? Uther would have killed me without a second thought. While he was still alive, how could I have put Arthur in that position? Asking him to choose between me and his father, his king? I couldn't do it. And now, you're right. Telling him is going to hurt him, and I never, ever wanted that. But what else was I supposed to do? Leon didn't have an answer to that. He wished he did, for his king's sake as much as Merlin's. Why did you start practicing magic? Leon asked. That was what he truly did not understand. Merlin shook his head. I didn't. I'm not technically a sorcerer. Sorcerers must learn magic. I'm a warlock. I was born with magic, Merlin explained. Eyes widening, Leon asked, That's possible? Gaius nodded, and Leon turned to face him. Warlocks are rarer than sorcerers, but they are by no means unheard of, Gaius told him. They are more common among the druids, but can be found elsewhere. Or, well, they could, before. Nausea roiled through Leon. How many that? Leon started. Shaking his head, Gaius firmly insisted, Do not start that line of questioning, Sir Leon. It will not change the past and will only bring you pain that serves no one. It might not change the past, but it could certainly change the future. This knowledge, if Leon didn't know, he was willing to bet most didn't either. Does Arthur know this? Leon asked. Forcing the words past the lump forming in his throat, he added, Did Uther? The look on Gaius's face said it all. Uther knew, Gaius replied, confirming Leon's worst fear. But I do not believe that Arthur does. Uther was determined to have Arthur remain as uninformed as possible on topics of magic. Merlin snorted. Because that's worked out so well for all of us, Merlin muttered. Leon grimaced, but he had to agree with Merlin. Their enemies had used magic against them far too many times, and they had almost always ended up defenseless. Looking at Merlin, Leon amended that thought. Not quite defenseless, but certainly less capable than if they'd known how to face these threats properly. Why do you serve him? Leon asked. Merlin smiled softly. Because he is going to be the greatest king Albion has ever seen. He'll unite the lands and usher in an era of peace and prosperity for everyone. That is a future worth protecting. Peace and prosperity for all. That was a nice goal, but it seemed more like a dream. Yet Merlin said it with utter certainty. There's a prophecy about him, Merlin admitted. Grimacing, he added, There's a part about me, too, how it's my job to protect him so he can do those things. but I'd stay and I'd serve him even without it, because I believe in him. Leon smiled gently at that. And you love him. Ducking his head, Merlin nodded. Will you believe me if I say it's the same sort of love you and the other knights feel for the king you've sworn yourselves to? Merlin asked hopefully. Laughing softly, Leon shook his head. We both know better, but I can pretend to believe it if it'll make this less awkward, Leon offered. Wincing, Merlin asked, just for now, please? For now, Leon could do that. What was another secret on top of all of this? The three of them spoke for a little longer, Merlin giving Leon a headache by telling him a few times he'd saved Arthur's life with magic. Eventually, the hour grew late, and Leon made ready to leave. I'm not going to demand you tell Arthur about your own powers, but he needs to know that not everyone chooses to learn, Leon insisted. Gaius, I need a plausible way I could come across this information so I can bring it to him. Merlin blinked in surprise. Wait, you're going to... With a small smile, Leon nodded. Gaius considered Leon for a moment. It will take a bit of doing, but I do believe there are still a few books in Geoffrey's domain that tell of such things, Gaius replied. We'll need a reason why you were reading them. Leon nodded. I appreciate the aid. It's one thing to go after those who have used magic against Camelot and its people. It's another to blame someone for merely being born. Arthur would not condone the latter. As surely as he knew his own name, Leon knew that about his king. It took over a week, but Leon was armed with the information needed to at least broach the topic with his king in private. Leon, is everything all right? Arthur asked. You seem a little distracted. Leon would never lie and claim his king was the most emotional of men, but in an otherwise empty throne room, the king didn't hesitate to allow genuine concern to show on his face. It was the perfect opening, if Leon had the courage to take it. Sire, I learned some disquieting news, Leon started slowly, bracing his hands on the table in front of them. The concern on Arthur's face deepened. A threat? Arthur asked, King's instincts instantly engaging. Leon shook his head. No, sire, at least not at present. I overheard snippets of a story. I thought it only didn't make sense because I'd missed most of it. I tried to put it from my mind but found it lingering. The story came from an old book that Sir Geoffrey had a copy of. He was reluctant to let me read it, as many of those stories contain magic. Arthur frowned. I didn't think any such books lingered, but given how Sir Geoffrey feels about knowledge, I suppose it makes sense he kept some. But I don't think that's a source for... Shaking his head again, Leon gently interrupted his king, knowing it would be forgiven. It's something I learned in one of the tales in the book, sire. The story referred to two characters, born with magic, but it called them different things. One it called a warlock, the other a sorcerer. Here, Leon paused as Arthur stared at him in confusion. Two different words, what of it, Leon? Perhaps one was merely more powerful, Arthur asked, growing impatient. This was the complicated part of the story, but Gaius had agreed to it. Arthur knew Gaius had once practiced magic. I thought so too, at first, but I asked Gaius. He explained that there is a difference, sire, an important one. Apparently, there are those who practice magic who did not choose to learn it, Leon explained. Frown deepening, Arthur asked, what do you mean? Leon squared his shoulders. Those known as warlocks are born with magic, sire. They do not choose to learn it. For these warlocks, magic is so instinctive that not using it is almost impossible. Choosing his words carefully, Leon added, Gaius confirmed that King Uther was aware of this distinction. Arthur looked sick. And he killed them all anyway. Worse, he made sure that I didn't know there was such a difference. Why didn't Gaius tell me? Taking the few steps needed to close the distance between them, Leon rested a hand on his king's shoulder. It was a comfort his king would not accept from many, but Leon dared it. Gaius was obeying his king's orders by keeping it from you, Leon pointed out gently. To be blunt, it hasn't come up since your coronation, or I have a feeling Gaius would have said something, but when asked directly, he didn't shy away from the truth. Arthur swallowed hard. That means some of them didn't even choose. Arthur trailed off. Leon nodded, heart aching with sympathy and understanding. He was all too familiar with the pain his king now felt. "My thoughts, too," Leon admitted. "Gaius counseled me not to allow my thoughts to stray down that road, as it cannot undo what was done." But his words were not easily heeded. Looking down at the table, Arthur said, "We've seen magic do terrible things, but I would not condemn someone for merely existing. I'm not my father." The unspoken words were loud and clear. No, Arthur was not his father. He was a far better man, better king, than Uther had been. "I know. Perhaps, sire," Leon started slowly, "perhaps we need to ask even more questions about magic." Arthur looked back up at him and held his gaze for a long moment. "That old sorcerer killed my father, though he swore he did not intend it. But the druids saved you. If there are truly those who do not choose magic at all, perhaps none of it is as clear as my father always insisted," Arthur agreed. "I don't know that I'll ever trust magic, but learning more about it for myself would be wise. A king should never rely only on the word of others when he has the tools to learn for himself." Leon nodded. "I agree, sire." Whether this would ultimately let them all get through Merlin revealing his magic to Arthur without pain was still to be seen, but at least Arthur was willing to consider that his knowledge and understanding about magic were flawed. It was a start. The end.